Hallelujah, amen. God bless you, church. Amen. Before we continue, just read Psalms 136. Amen. From verse 1 to verse 13. My voice is gone, so you would forgive me and sing along with me too. So Psalms 136, the way we're going to read it is that I'm going to read the first, for each verse, I'm going to read the first sentence. And then you will read, for his mercy endureth forever. So each verse has, for his mercy endureth forever. So you would read that part for me. Amen. So for example, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Then you say, for his mercy endureth forever. Can we do that together? Amen. So Psalms 136, verses 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone doth great wonders, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness, to him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon king of Amorites, and all the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, who remembered us in our low estate and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't mind, can be upstanding while we sing this song. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Amen. His mercy endureth forever.
Oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil. In my lamp I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, sing Hosanna. Oh, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Oh, keep me burning to the break of day.
Sing Hosanna.
Sing Hosanna. Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah. Sing Hosanna. Sing
Hosanna.
Sing Hosanna to the King.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, I am designed.
Hallelujah.
To follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Oh,
no turning back.
Oh, the cross.
If no one joins me, still I will follow.
No, no one joins me, still I will follow.
Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back.
Oh,
no turning back.
The cross before me.
For me.
The cross be.
Oh, yes. The cross before
Hallelujah.
Me.
Hallelujah.
The world behind.
Oh, my. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back.
Oh,
no turning back.
If no one joins
me, oh
yes,
still I will follow.
I will follow. Though no one joins me,
oh,
still I will follow.
Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back.
Oh,
no turning back. Give me oil.
Give me oil
in my life. Give me burning.
Oh,
oh, give me oil.
Give me oil.
I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Give me burning.
Burning, Lord.
Oh, give me burning to the break. Brother Tendai, come and pray for us.
Sing
Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Sing Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Sing Hosanna to the King.
Hosanna!
Sing Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Sing Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Sing Hosanna to the King!
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Father, for yet another time, Father, in your presence. Father God, looking forward, Father, to feast on your word, Lord Jesus. Father, we are so thankful, Father, for having started with us, Father. Father, may we continue, Father, in the same presence, Father, in the same visitation, Lord Father. Father God, as we, Father, enter in this, Father, second day, Father God, may you be with us, Lord Father.
Amen.
Father, continue to refill us, Father, with your spirit, Lord Jesus. Father, we are so thankful, merciful Jesus. Oh, Father, may you lead, Father. You have started with us, Lord Father. Father, continue with us. Father, be in the leading of the songs, Father God, in the singing, Father. Father God, may the same atmosphere be with us, Father, even in the preaching of the word, Lord Jesus. Father, we are so thankful, Father, for this power of transformation, Lord. May it continue with us, Lord Father. Even, Father, as we continue with the program, we pray, Father, may you be with us. Continue with us, Father. We pray and commit all into your hands. In the mighty name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe that we got the power in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. We've got the power in
Amen.
The name of the Lord.
Amen.
Those Satan rages will not
Amen.
Be defeated. Amen. Let's sing that song. I love that song so much. And at the end of the song, we expect Sister Grace Duco to come for a testimony after the song.
Give me your hand.
Give me your
hand. Oh, let's agree together. That all our enemies will come alive and feel.
Hallelujah.
Oh, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee.
We got the power.
Oh, we've got the power.
Power. got the power in the name of the Lord. For many is now,
for many is now.
Satan tried to stop
us,
but the bride of Jesus is still alive.
Hallelujah.
Oh, like a mighty army, we keep marching on.
We're winning every battle.
Winning every battle. For the Lord on us.
We got the power.
Oh, we got the power. In the name of Jesus.
We got the power.
We got the power.
And hold the hand of somebody close to
give
you
me
now.
Your hand, give me your hand.
Oh, give me your hand.
Hold somebody close to you.
Let's agree together. Not all our enemies will crumble out at our feet. Oh, for whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Jesus.
Now raise the hand up. Hallelujah.
We got the power. Power.
We got the
hallelujah.
Power.
Hallelujah.
Oh, in the name of
hallelujah.
Oh, we got the power.
We got the power.
In the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord.
Of the Satan reigns. Hallelujah, we've got
raise up the hand one more time. Hallelujah.
In the name of
oh, we've got the power,
the power.
We got the power.
We got the power.
In the name of
we've got in the name of the power.
Jesus.
Power, we've got the power, saints.
Amen.
May you kindly have your seat as we expect Sister Grace Duco. Amen. For us, a special a testimony, rather.
It's all the same thing. Can I just sing too?
If we have time, perhaps. Yes, God bless you, saints. I'll just say that I didn't wake up with the plan to give this testimony today. It wasn't in my mind at all. This is something that happened to me. And then when I woke up, I still had the journal entry open on my tablet. And then I started to read and I said, my, this is something that I probably should share. And it's true that we do have the power in the name of the Lord. And for many years now, Satan has tried to stop us, but we keep going forward. We keep marching forward. And so my testimony is a testimony of deliverance, the way that the Lord delivered me. And so I wanted to sing a song, I Know Who I Have Believed. So the song says, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has made known, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day. And perhaps I'll sing that song, but for today, the thing that I wanted to give a testimony was about how our deliverance and our strength, the power that we just sang about, is rooted in the simplicity of the gospel. It's rooted in the simplicity, the simple truths that God gives us in his word are our defense. And so about when you walk with the Lord, you come with all your troubles, all your sins, and the Lord one by one deals with them. And so when I was a sinner, I got into a spot, watching a spot really seriously, like I was committed to that. And after I became a Christian, the Lord was dealing with all the other areas in my life, and then he also came to this door and said, it's time to stop this one as well. But the thing with the Lord is that he speaks once, and that's enough. He leaves it with you, and then it's your choice to do what you want with the word that he gives you. So he said that to me, and I said, oh, okay. And then about 2 or 3 years passed after that time. And well, the thing that made it that long for why that idol, because it wasn't idol to me. I was waking up in the middle of the night to watch sport that was happening in Japan. You don't do that unless you're worshiping that sport, right? Like, you should wake up in the night to pray to the Lord if he's your God. But if you're waking up in the night, if you're staying up all night to watch TV programs, to do these things, those things are the things that you're worshiping. Those things are your God. And so though I was walking with the Lord, and I was a Christian at that time, I still had that idol very deeply rooted in my heart. And so I had lots of justifications for why I shouldn't stop doing what I'm doing. So the first thing was that I was looking at other Christians and saying, well, all these other people that are also believers, they also have their thing, so why can't I have my thing? But the problem with that sort of thinking is that you're making other people your standard. You can't make other people your standard. There's one standard that we have, and that's the word of God. Jesus is the standard. He's our example, you know? So you can't make other people your standard. So the Lord comes and, like we're playing a game of chess, you could say. So I go this way, and he says, but that's why you can't do it that way. So then another thing was that I just didn't want to give it up. This is something that I loved. I really loved it. But when you're walking with the Lord, there's only so far that you can go if you only partially submit to his headship. You can go as far as he can take you, but you can't go any further because you've still got things that are holding onto your ankles, you know? And so that was that. But then when you're walking with the Lord, he makes you thirsty. He makes you thirsty in you. But the more you walk with him, the more you thirst to walk with him. So you want to keep going with him. But then now you say, well, now we've reached this point and I can't go any further because this thing, idol, is still in my heart, but I want to go further. So what can I do? So then it became, stop looking at other people, look at yourself. And now it's not that I want to do it anymore. Now it's that I don't want to do it anymore, but I don't know how to give it up. I know that I need to let it go, and I want to let it go, but how do I then let it go? Because you can't, none of it, if anyone's like heart surgery, you can't perform heart surgery on yourself. You need someone to come and do it for you. And it's the same thing. When you have something in your life, you can't operate on yourself. God has to come and do it for you. So, and in that moment, what you do is then you take it to the Lord in prayer. So it was about a year ago in February where we'd reached ahead, and I was like, Lord, saying all of my many words. But then in the midst of the prayer, I just stopped praying and just sat there in that presence. And then God said to me, but have you given it to me? You're trying to get rid of it yourself. You're trying to just put it away, suppress the desire to go and do that. But have you given it to me? Have you given me the opportunity to take it from you? And so in that, I was quite shocked, actually, because I was like, oh, it seems quite obvious that I'm saying it, but I'm like, oh yeah, Lord, I haven't actually, because he doesn't do anything unless you give him permission, because he's a gentleman, you know, he's not just going to take something from you. So you need to consent to it. So then I said, I'll let you take it, Lord. And then I felt that thing leave me. And so that was that. So the Lord delivered me from that. And so once you're free, you're free. You can go happy. But the devil, when the Jubilee trumpet sounds, the devil is not happy. And so in the 2 weeks that followed that deliverance, because I was delivered then, the devil fought me. I write down things on my tablet just so I can remember things. So I'll just read what I wrote at that time a year ago. So it says this. It says, in the 2 weeks that followed the time, the enemy did not cease to trouble me with deceiving thoughts, with subtle thoughts. I grew weary of every moment of every day being plagued by vain imaginations, by this thing that isn't a part of me anymore trying to come back and take me. And to that, I'll say these two things. It was a stronghold. It was a stronghold in my life. And that stronghold was reclaimed by the Spirit of the Lord. But because it's a stronghold, the devil knows that fault very well. And for you people that came and gave your life to the Lord, if you had strongholds in your life that you were delivered of yesterday, the devil knows those strongholds, you know. He knows how to attack you in the same path because he's held that for years, you know. But we do have the power in the name of the Lord. And so the devil was fighting against me in the same way for 2 weeks, every day, every night, everything, all my thoughts were just consumed with that one thing, you know. And so I could say that in that warfare, what he did was a besiege. He besieged me. He camped around my mind, try to make me so weary and so tired and try to force me to surrender. And looking back on it, I said the thing that you should do when you're in that situation is to cry to the Lord to deliver you, you know. If you don't try and if you don't ask him to help you, you keep, once again, it's consent. The God does things by consent. If you ask him to help you, he'll help you. But if you try to say, no, I can overcome it in my own willpower, it's game over, you know. So needless to say, there was an offense breached in this thing. Though the desire had left me because of all these badgering thoughts and everything, I ended up going back to watch for just one more, you know. And then after that, I was so bitterly disappointed. And the devil thought he'd won. He'd got me there. I was in tears saying, oh, Lord, what is this that's happened? But then I picked up my pen and I wrote. And the thing that I wrote was that I have not lost. That in the midst of all of this, I have not lost. Because I wrote this thing. It says, in the things that you perceive as failure, don't think you have lost. For what the enemy means for evil, what he means to defeat you by, the Lord is able to turn it for our good and for our glory. Amen. And so, for his glory, rather. And so, in the midst of that, what the Lord really did was he exposed to me my thinking pattern. So he said to, he gave me this thought. He says, what are the truths that you believe about yourself? What do you really believe about yourself? And it could also be said this way, well, what are you calling truth? What are you identifying as truth? And where are you drawing these truths from? And it was an important consideration to me because you can't cast down an imagination if you partially believe it's true, you know? And so the truth that I was believing about myself up until that point, up until this point, was that I'm a disappointment, that there's nothing wrong with the Lord, but the problem in this partnership between me and the Lord is me. It's I'm the problem. And if I'm disappointed in myself, God is definitely disappointed in me, you know? And this thought as well, yeah, God loves you, but he doesn't actually like you, you know? He's just, he loves you, but he doesn't like you. And those sort of things. And that sort of thinking is because my makeup is that I'm a person that seeks perfection. I'm a perfectionist, you could say. So if I see something that is not the way that it should be, then it can be a very sharp hammering point for me. But so, and this is the idea of complexes, because we all have complexes of our own. And now we've gone through this thing. God's delivered me from it. The devil's attacked me so much that I've just gone to watch one more. And then now I'm disappointed, and now I'm a disappointment. So the devil, he uses these circumstances as evidence and presents it as he presents the cases as hard facts, and seemingly you can't argue with it. It's like, well, look what you did. You failed. You are a disappointment, you know. But when the devil comes to you in that way, what God said to me at this is that if you partially, even just a little bit, believe his lies, you can't cast him down, you can't cast him out. And we're not here to take prisoners, because prisoners can still speak even if they're in bars. We're here to cast down and to destroy. And these things need to be destroyed. The devil doesn't have any portion in us at all. And so at that time, I meditated on that thought for about a week. And then another thought came, and then I was like, well, Lord, what do I say in response? What's the word that will overcome this thing that the devil says that I am? And then in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, it says this. It says, by one offering, he has perfected forever.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Sorry.
Amen. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And in Romans, it also says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
Amen.
Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather. It is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. And so, with those simple words, and that God has perfected me forever. And then Brother Chesley was saying yesterday, a righteous man falls down and he gets back up again, you know?
Yeah.
And our deliverance is in the simple truths of God. So if you are struggling with anything, like I said, it wasn't in my grand scheme of my life to come and give this testimony and be in tears about it, but God wanted me to say it, so I said it, you know?
Yeah.
And just know that the word of God is your point of deliverance, so you need to get into the word, otherwise you can't be delivered. Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Our God is good. His mercy is endured forever. Amen. My voice is all gone, so.
Your voice is not gone, but. Yeah.
So you sing along with me, amen. That was a wonderful testimony, my sister. Can we just sing that song, Mercy Rewrote My Life?
Mercy.
Because Satan wanted to have me bound, but mercy rewrote my life. Hallelujah. Do you thank God for his mercies? Hallelujah.
Mercy.
Glory be to God. After this song, we expect the sisters to come for their specials. Amen.
I could have fallen last cast down, but mercy rewrote my life.
Mercy, 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 thank you, Jesus.
Mercy rewrote my life. We thank God for his mercy that rewrote my life. I could have
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, saints.
Amen.
Spirit of God, move. Write your word in my heart. Fill my whole being, come to my life, Spirit of God, move to me, so that you can come, Lord, and fill me. Touch your people, Lord, every part of me, with your holy fire, Lord, in this place, that's all I want to be. Jesus, Lord, and
recognized your voice, and I've understood the call. Help me not to faint, but to stand and overcome. Lord, I just want to please you. That's all that I can do. So from my soul now, I cry to you. Touch your people, Lord, every part of me, with your holy fire, Lord, in this place, that's all I want to be. This is my prayer, Lord, Spirit of God, in this place. Touch your people, Lord, every part of me, with your holy fire, Lord, in this place. That's all I want to be. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Wonderful singing, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. We thank God for those lovely voices.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's sing the song. We will not leave our little ones behind. For our Father has them in mind. Hallelujah. I know you know this song now, so you're going to join me sing now. Amen. Hallelujah.
I live a little ones behind. Oh, for our Father has them in mind. Oh, some are weak, some are feeble. Others we think that they're not able. We will not leave a little ones behind.
We will not a little ones.
We will not leave a little ones behind.
Oh, what an association.
For our Father has them in mind. Oh, oh, some are weak, oh, some are feeble. Others think that they're not able. We will not leave a little ones behind.
What about our brothers now?
We will not leave our brothers behind. Oh, our Father has them in mind. Oh, though some are weak, some are feeble, others think that they are not able. We will not leave our brothers behind.
What about our sisters now?
Hallelujah. We will not leave our sisters behind.
Oh my,
for our Father has them in mind. Oh my, some are weak, some are feeble, others think that they are not able. We will not leave
up. I hope you don't leave our brothers behind now. Hallelujah.
Oh, we will not leave our brothers behind. Father has them in mind. Oh, yes. Some are weak, though some are feeble. Others think that they are not able. We will not leave our fathers behind.
We will not leave our fathers behind.
Hallelujah. We will not leave our fathers behind. Oh, for our Father has them. Oh my, some are weak, some are feeble,
fathers know that they are not able. We will not leave our fathers.
What about our little ones?
Amen. We will not leave our little ones behind.
Hallelujah.
Our Father has them in mind.
Oh my.
Some are weak. Some are feeble. Others feel that they are not able. We will not leave our little ones behind. Oh, give me that old time religion.
Give me that
old time religion.
Give me that
old time religion. This good enough for me. Give me that old time. Oh, give me that old time religion. I want that old time religion. This good enough
for me.
Oh, give me the
old and Holy Spirit,
and the devil will hear it. That's the reason people fear it. It's good enough for me. Give me that old
time religion.
I want that
old time religion. Old time religion, and it's good enough for me. It will make you. Make you stop your lying.
It will save you when you are dying. It will stop the devil lying. It's good enough for me.
Give me that
old time religion. Old time religion.
Oh, give me that
old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Greet each and everyone this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, just glad for another opportunity to share what the goodness of God has done for each and every one of us. Just like to know if we can open our Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah and read chapter 6. From verses 1 to verses 5. It's a very familiar scripture. We all know it quite well. Isaiah chapter 6, from verses 1 to verses 5.
Amen.
Says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With 20 covered his face, with 20 covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Let's bow heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, as we approach you once again this morning, Lord, we're coming under expectation, Lord, that, Lord, you said, Lord, you will, Lord, fill our cups, Lord, and we're coming, Lord, with a thankful heart for what has taken place thus far, Lord. We can truly say, Lord, that you have blessed us, Lord, with the blessings that are rich and added no sorrow, Lord. It's like the song we sing, Lord, open the windows and pour out your blessings, Lord. Shower your power upon us, we pray. Send such a blessing that we cannot contain it. Open the windows of heaven today. That's the desire of each and everyone's heart, Lord. And we will not forget to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Much thanksgiving. Amen. You can have your seats. Just thought this morning I'd like to speak on the influence of an atmosphere. We all know this thing, the story about Isaiah. I must always remember there's some people here that's not so familiar. It's others. So if you can just bear with me. I'd just like to start from the scripture where we started reading. If you look at the story of the prophet Isaiah, He speaks of the year of the King Uzziah, which was a friend of this prophet called Isaiah. And Uzziah was an earthly king. And because he was an earthly king, he had a certain authority, he had a certain power, and he had a certain influence. And you see, he influenced Isaiah. And when Isaiah got, he got very much used to the influence of his friend Uzziah. And sometimes, you know, that cannot always be the greatest of things. And what God had to do is, God gave him a vision here. And God showed Isaiah what a true king is. Because he was dealing with an earthly king, but now God showed him who's the King of Kings.
Yes.
And you will notice there was two different atmospheres. The earthly king couldn't do much to Isaiah. He felt very comfortable in the presence of the earthly king. But when he got into the presence of the heavenly king, there was a change in atmosphere. He began to realize how small he was. He began to realize he's nothing. You see, what happens when you go into the presence of God? You see, like this, the Bible is saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the angels cover their faces, and the angels cover their feet. What that symbolizes is the feet is the humility. Their faces was not worthy to look at the presence of God. You see, God is so holy that the angels that never committed sin couldn't look at his presence. That's how holy God is. So you understand what we are dealing with here. It's not some theology. It's not some child's play. We're dealing with a holy God. You see? And no presence, no sin can come into that presence of God. And if you look at what happened with this prophet Isaiah, when he came into that presence, he felt so convicted, he began to realize that, you know what? This is the breath of, this is the one who gives me the breath of life. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, God holds the breath of life in your hand, in his hands.
Yes.
And that few minutes in that atmosphere of God changed his entire life. You see, he had to switch the atmosphere from an earthly to a heavenly, and it did something that it changed him. That this man, the prophet Isaiah, he wrote 66 books of in the book of Isaiah, and it spoke about the beginning till the end. Because he spent time in an atmosphere and had the influence of a holy atmosphere. And so we understand what an atmosphere is actually. The atmosphere, the Bible describes it as the heavens. The heavens is an atmosphere. Now what an atmosphere does is an atmosphere determines a climate. A climate determines growth. So, you see, with a certain type of atmosphere, you're going to get a certain kind of a climate. And because of that climate, you will see what grows. A natural example is the brother was speaking about Ireland. I know they call Ireland the Emerald Isle because of the greenery. But it's because of the climate in Ireland that there's a lot of rain, there'll be a lot of greenery. If you go to another climate, place where I go to a lot in the Northern Cape, it's a desert. Now, there's not a lot of rain, so there's not going to be a lot of greenery. So what I'm trying to show you here is the influence that the atmosphere has over a climate. Because the atmosphere determines the climate determines the growth. You see? So anybody that's a new Christian, if you want to grow, you need to be in the right atmosphere. Because the atmosphere has an influence over you naturally, it has an influence over you spiritually. Because the natural types are spiritual. So you will realize here, as we are talking about here, the Bible, there's many examples of how an atmosphere changed. We can go start in the book of Genesis. If you look at the Garden of Eden, right? The Garden of Eden had a holy atmosphere. There was no death in the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect place. But what happened is in that atmosphere, something had to come to change life to death. That's right. If you take a look at the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve got taken out of the garden because of the influence that took place on Adam and Eve, that they could not be in that place no longer because that place was holy. And God had to make a way for them to get back to that holy atmosphere that they got taken out of. And from that time onward, up till today, man still seeks that perfection that they had in the beginning. And because they have a desire for that perfection, they keep trying to make something new to stimulate them. Think about it. Every single day you get a new model of a car. Every single year is a new model of a phone. There's always a new model. Because in the Bible says when you are a newborn Christian, you will walk in newness of life. So they're trying to imitate the newness that God gives, but it cannot imitate that newness because the newness of God is something that no natural thing can imitate. That's what it is. You see, the newness of God is something that's eternal. Because you see, what happens is, when you are a son and daughter of God, and you come from God, you came from a particular atmosphere you can relate to. That's why when you're sick, you're discontent when you're sick, because you weren't created to be sick. When somebody dies, you're sad because you were not created to die. The original atmosphere we were in, there was no death, there was no sickness, there was no sorrow, there was nothing of that sort. So inside your subconscious mind, there is a place you know that you were once, where you don't feel and you don't suffer what you're suffering today. So therefore, there's a cry inside your heart to go back. Therefore, like the brother said last night, there's a thirst in your soul. Did you ever notice there's a very famous song that says, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee." Because he's not singing with his voice. He's not singing from his heart. He's singing from his soul. Why is he singing from his soul? Because God created the soul of man in his image. Not the flesh, the soul. So the soul is the place that connects with God. When God hears you, he hears that you're from the voice coming from your soul. He hears the inside voice. All we hear is the outside voice, but God interprets the inside voice, the cry for help, like our sister was talking about. And because God created the soul with a thirst and a desire for him, he has to supply something to satisfy it. Now you see what happens is, if you take a look at how important an atmosphere is, we can just take it to the natural as I'm going from the Garden of Eden. You see what happens is, an atmosphere, a spiritual, and when you're walking in an atmosphere, it influences your mind, like we were talking yesterday. We are here in an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit will bring repentance and new birth. Yeah. The success of the meeting was not the preachers. It was not the old people who organized it. It was the atmosphere that brought the success. The atmosphere is created by words. That's right. The atmosphere is created by words. Whatever words you speak creates an atmosphere. If you want to read it, we can turn to it in the book of Proverbs chapter 18. We can just take a look at it shortly. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. All those who want to write it down, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says here, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So you see, death and life is in the power of your words. It's not the words that you speak, it's the intention behind your words. Because intent is energy. Words are energy. You've been taught words don't die. Whatever words you speak, the prophet spoke about, there's going to be a device that can pick up the words that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago. Now, it might sound ridiculous when he said it because they didn't have the science we have today, but if you take it back to science, it's very simple. Words are frequencies. Frequencies are vibrations. Vibration is energy. It never dies. They said if you take electromagnetic spectrum, right? And what happens on the electromagnetic spectrum, they measure sound. Sound going at a certain speed becomes light. That's right. If sound oscillates at a certain speed, sound becomes light. But what did the Bible said in the beginning? Let there be light. That's right, because the word brought light. Now, the interesting thing about that first verse of the Bible, if you read it in the original language, it's a word called chata in Hebrew. What that means is to create something out of without any pre-existing material. So God created something without any pre-existing material. So that's why you can believe God can supply every need in your life. Because God wasn't like a man when he had to make the earth. There was no hardware store to go buy anything that he needed to create something. Whatever we do, we take something that's already been created and we process it into something else. God is different. God makes something out of nothing. And God takes something that's nothing and makes something out of it. Out of weakness, God gives strength. Always remember that out of weakness, he's going to give strength. Now we take a look, just want to go a bit further. If we take a look at the character like Moses. Moses was a man that had a calling on his life. Yeah. Moses was born to be a deliverer. Amen. But Moses grew up in a place where he had the wrong influence of the wrong atmosphere around him. He grew up in the palace of the Egyptians. And growing up in the palace of the Egyptians had a great influence on his life. So he only knew military skill. And when he got his calling, that, you know, he had to be a deliverer. Remember the first thing Moses went to go and do? He kills an Egyptian. Because that was he thought, because that's the influence Moses had. He was he used to be a military man. And with all his knowledge, all his power, he could only kill one Egyptian. That was his inspiration for delivery of a nation. But then God gave Moses a meeting, a special meeting. He met him in a burning bush. And he said, Moses, take off your feet. This is holy ground. You see, the same burning bush atmosphere was the same atmosphere that Isaiah had experienced. Exactly the same. Moses went to that place where it was so holy that the angels couldn't go. And yet God called Moses to come to that place and said, take off your shoes, Moses. Because God knew now he's going to anoint Moses for his commission. You see, what happens is, if you want to know what the word anointing comes from the word Messiah. Anointing comes from atmosphere. Atmosphere gives an anointing. Anointing breaks the yoke of the enemy. You see, so Moses had to be anointed by the atmosphere of the supernatural, the atmosphere of the Holy God, so he could go and deliver his people, because Moses was being prepared to break the yoke of the enemy and deliver the captives. You see, because when Moses came from that burning bush, he was no longer the old Moses of Egypt. This was a new Moses. This was the Moses that God had ordained. This was the season that Moses was going to get his calling, and his calling was going to be fulfilled in his life. Amen. Now, you see, he had to be in the right atmosphere and under the right influence to recognize his calling in his life. Now, it's the same with every person sitting here today. You've got to be in the right atmosphere, under the right influence, to realize the calling of God in your life. You see, because Moses' calling was not what he thought it was. Moses thought his calling was, I must go study, I must get a job, and I must earn a certain amount of money, and it brought him to a dead end. Now, a lot of times, that's the influence we have here in Laodicea. Oh, no, a job, money, pension fund, but it'll bring you to a dead end. But there's a greater calling in this age than just to be a job, earn money, and study. We have a particular scripture that pertains to us in the book of Revelation where they say, John, come up higher. We're not called to just be here, we're called to come up higher. So when God calls you up higher, he has to equip you to come up higher. When God calls you higher, he has to send an anointing to bring you higher. God sent us in this day an eagle anointing to call us higher. He sent us that anointing so we can come higher and we can see further. We need to go higher to see further so we can recognize the works of the enemy. That's right. Because we're living in a deceiving age. We're living in the most deceiving age there ever was. Now, I just want to go slightly a bit further. Now, I want to just talk about how the atmosphere of social pressure, what it does to young people. It says here, social pressure is the worst enemy of human beings. It makes you conform, like I was saying yesterday. It pursues you with a hypnotic power because you want to become part of the crowd. You want to follow what everybody does. They say if you hang around with the dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. That's the truth. Now, the interesting thing about it is, I just want to go a bit further. It will make you do what you don't want to do. It will make you hate what you love. It will make you say things you don't believe in. That's what social pressure does. And social pressure comes by sitting in the wrong atmosphere. You know one thing that comes from heaven that is exactly the same on earth today? There's only one substance. It's called music. Yes. Music is still in its purest form. Music has not changed since the day it was in heaven and it's now on earth. And music was always used for worship. If you want to read it, it's in the book of Psalms chapter 22. It says, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. You see, because if you think of the psalm that the brother was reading, and his mercy endureth forever, what was it doing? It was creating an atmosphere, and his mercy endureth forever. It's because his mercies are new that we are not consumed. You see, the words, my brother, let us read, created an atmosphere that created an expectation that something's going to take place in the meeting today, right? Because that's what they are doing, the band is doing. They're trying to prepare an atmosphere that God can be pleased with. Because God's music has got to come with God's intention. You see, if you take notice of it, I'll give you an example of what music does. You got a conscious mind and you got a subconscious mind. Right? So, everything your conscious mind listens to, it has to filter. Now, what music does, it disarms your conscious so something goes directly to your subconscious. So what they do is they play music in the shops. They play music everywhere so that it can disarm your discernment so that they can get you to do what they want you to do. So you go to the checkout and you're walking around and they start playing music. You come to that last bit of the line where you know you don't need stuff. You don't need a chocolate. You don't need chewing gum. But they're playing some favorite tune of yours. And now you decide, hey, I need a chocolate. I need chewing gum. And before you know it, you complain. Hey, man, where's all the money gone? Can you see? How they trick you? Yeah, they play that music, make you go buy stuff you don't even want to buy. That's the way they do it to you. And the interesting thing about it is, if you notice in the Bible how powerful music was, is when, if you think about David, we were talking about it the other day. David takes a harp and he plays it. And remember this, Saul was possessed with an evil spirit. But I want to let you know something. Notice Saul wasn't an unbeliever. Saul wasn't an unbeliever. Saul was a Christian and he was possessed with an evil spirit. But here comes David and he plays the harp. And that music, the intent behind David's music drives the demon out of Saul. You see the power of that music? That's why when you come to the service, you must realize the importance of these musicians. These musicians, you know, let me tell you something. Your body automatically interprets music without you even doing anything. Why do you think you dance? You dance because your body's interpreting it. How do you think people learn how to dance, Elvis and those people? It was under the Pentecostal experience of the Holy Ghost and the devil perverted it. If you look at, I was doing something a few years ago, trying to understand the origins of this worldly music. And I realized every band in the 90s that sang R&B and all those hits came from the church. You look at the history, they sang in the church choir, sang in the church choir. Every top singer that sells number one hits sang in the church choir. How is that possible? Gifts and calling are without repentance. You see, the devil knows how to attract the ear. The devil knows how to entice your senses. He knows exactly what to do. He knows if he can get you in a sensual state of mind, you forget about the spiritual. You see, he focuses on your complexes like the sister says. You know, interesting about complexes, it's something, I'll just read with you what a complex is. A complex is a core pattern of emotions and memories and wishes, perceptions in the personal mind, unconscious mind, such organized around common themes. Let me simplify that. A complex has got to do with status. It's got to do with flaws. You see, when you got a complex, it's because you esteem yourself too high or you esteem yourself too low. But that's why you get the gospel, because it gives you balance. The gospel tells you, you're nothing to begin with. That you can do all things through Christ Jesus. And the gospel tells you that your value is not in your materialism. Your value is not in the flesh. Your value is in your spirit. That's why they could say your soul is worth 10,000 worlds. Now, up till today, it doesn't matter how old you are or young you are, you're going to struggle with a complex. Because when you grow up, you want to be successful. When you grow up, you want to be somebody people respect. So you're going to do whatever it takes to be successful. You're going to do whatever it takes to get respect. And therefore, you're going to start looking and going down certain roads you should not. I mean, Brother George, he spoke to me a lot about it. I know a lot about it. There was a time in life when you were in the wrong company, in the wrong atmosphere, and you saw what it produced. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, there's some parts that I've been down in the past that I am not proud of, but I know for a fact God granted me grace to go through these things so that it can be a testimony to others. You know, growing up, I'm not going to talk too much about the place I grew up, but I'll give you a simple example. It's good and bad, but there's certain areas that it's just not good to be in. So I was hanging out with certain friends and doing certain things, you know. And I'm saying this for you young men, because young men get influenced very easily by their friends. Very easily by their friends. You see, when you're young, you don't listen to your father, your mother, you listen to your friends, especially when you're a teenager, thinking, I want to be one of the homeboys, you know, I want to be with the boys. And I was hanging one day with my friends on the corner, and one friend comes to me and says, hey, these guys, they want to beat me up, let's go. I said, okay, I'm going to fetch all my friends on the block, and we're going to go finish these guys. We're going to sort them out tonight. Hey, not even halfway, there's an accident. Hey, I'm thinking, what now? What now? Hey, God help me. Now everybody runs away. I'm in the car alone, and I'm thinking, okay, now we need to make a plan now. Right? I come back to the car, I say, yes, look, let me rather go face up. Right? The police come, take down details, now I have to go to the police station. Few days later, one of my friends come down the road. He said, "Hey, you know what? That guy's dead, did you know?" "What? He's dead?" I said, "No, I mean, can't be. Because I remember he was still alive when I left." I said, "No, he's, man, this is a hard one, this." And, you know, it was something I had to live with. And this is where I saw the power of God. Because now I've got lots of things happening. They want to send me to a psychiatrist, psychology. And the worst part of it is, I was in trouble with the police now also. And it was like the movies. I woke up one morning, 8 o'clock, they knocked on my door. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. I'm like, what? Is this now a movie? Is this actually real? No, it was real. I was still standing in my pajamas. Man, that's going to be happening. Yeah, then I have to go to the police station. Long story. Now, I was backslidden. And this happened to me because I got out of the will of God. I got out of the atmosphere of church. Church is important. Got out of the atmosphere where there's protection, where the angels of God is looking after you. And I decided to go on the devil's ground, you see. And that's what happened when you go on the devil's ground. You see, they say, when the devil asks you to dance, you better say never, because a dance with the devil might last forever. I'm just giving you a warning, brothers. I'm just saying it as it is. So what happened is now I'm thinking, I go to the prosecutor. I say, "Hey, look, you know what, man? I didn't mean this. How can I say? We don't care. You're going to get 5 years in jail." I'm thinking, "Man, what?" I say, "How can you give me 5 years? I didn't even mean to do it. We don't know if you're guilty or not." Man, first thing I thought to myself is, the only way out is to go to church. That's true. You're going to see a lot of your sons and daughters, right? They're not in church now. But the same God that dealt with me is going to deal with them. Don't you worry, brother. Don't you worry, sister. Your son and your daughter, they don't go to church. God's going to deal with them. Hey, I had to go to church. I'm thinking, God, help me today. Now, another thing is, I got no money for a lawyer. I must go look for a lawyer with no money. I'm thinking, man, yeah, I got to go to court. That's the first time in 2 years I go to church on a Sunday night. I say, hey, I need to go to church. I can't afford a lawyer. I'm not going to survive. Right? I asked this brother to pray for me at church. I'm thinking, hey, tomorrow I might just be locked up. I might be singing those songs on the radio tomorrow. That's the way now it is. There I come. Hey, I get the court case comes. I go to court. He asks me so many questions. I just don't know. I plead the fifth. Eventually, I say, hey, the case got turned over. No criminal record. Case got thrown out. I'm thinking, man, how did this happen? It's going to be. And the funny thing is, I was supposed to go to America the next week, in a month's time. Now, you can't travel with a criminal record. But God designed it in such a way that they threw away the case. I don't even know what happened. But you see, God gives you a second chance. Seriously, God gives you a second chance. Maybe you today here for a second chance. Again, brother, through testimony, what happened a month ago. Now I'm saying this to show you how the mercy of God. 5 years ago, we were preaching at somebody's house. And this person wanted to come to the Lord. He came to the altar call. He didn't come. A month ago, went to go preach again. And that person was at the prayer meeting. He gave his heart to the Lord, right? Now, after the preaching, he came and he said he wants to go see somebody inside. He wants to talk to us. So we took him in. We asked him, he said, "No, I want to give my heart to the Lord." I asked him, "So what happened?" "No, I got stabbed 11 times last week." Yeah, he just got stabbed 11 times. And he said, "Look, brother, I believe God's giving me a second chance today." And so I'm saying, God's rich in mercy. Why do you say, his mercy endureth forever? He's not always going to be angry at you. You see how much God loves you. Think about how much God loves you that you can fall so low. That's why the Bible says, the song says, grace that is greater than all of sin. That's true. It doesn't matter how far you sink. The grace of God is able to take you from the lowest point and lift you up to the highest. The grace of God is sufficient for every weakness. You might have come this morning with weaknesses. Paul was one of the greatest apostles, but Paul had a weakness in his flesh. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. And why does God allow the thorn in the flesh? To keep you humble. God needs to leave a thorn in everybody's flesh so they cannot exalt themselves. Because God alone will be exalted. Hallelujah. You see, now when Paul had this thorn in the flesh, he asked God, "Can you please remove this thorn?" God said, "My grace is sufficient. In your weakness, my strength is perfected." Now that's why God doesn't look for a strong church. He doesn't look for a strong Christian. God looks for a weak Christian. Because in that Christian's weakness, God is glorified. God is glorified in your weakness. In your weakness, God shows his strength. When you don't have strength, he gives you strength. That's why they could sing a song. "The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power." Because that same blood cleansed you from sin.
Why do you think we sang this song yesterday? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. What's the significance about the blood? The prophecy is Emmanuel means God with us. So the blood don't come from a Jew. The blood don't come from a Gentile. The blood comes from God. Now you got to understand, in the Garden of Eden, it was blood that changed the atmosphere. When blood fell on the ground became cursed. But there was a prophecy of the seed of the woman. There would come a blood that would restore the polluted and blood of mankind. You see, mankind was not meant to mix with a beast. In the Garden of Eden, there was a mixing going on. And it was, and if you notice in the book of Leviticus, they say, when a human being mixed with a beast, it becomes an abomination. So your flesh is an abomination in the sight of God. But your spirit is precious to God. That's why he sent his spirit to come to you so that it can change your spirit. You see, that's why the life is in the blood. Because in the blood was the life of God. And when that blood fell from the cross, it removed the curse from the earth. Because every time blood was shed, the blood cried out. The blood cried out from the time of the time when Abel was murdered, the blood was crying. But then there came other blood to cry a pardon. The one blood said, you were guilty. The blood of Jesus said, you are pardoned. The blood of Jesus said, you're perfect. The blood of Jesus says, it does not see your sin no more. So I'm talking about that blood today, and that blood still has not lost its power. It can still save you. It can still cleanse you. And it will also heal you. You see, a lot of time you can come to the house of God and you don't expect to be healed. Why? Why do you come here? Because the atmosphere of the blood of Jesus is here. He said, by my stripes, you are healed. Why is that so important? There was 40 stripes, the prophecy, a stripe for every sickness. Many a times when I have to come preach, I cannot tell people. I got a stomach ache. My back is paining. I got toothache. Why? Because I believe I'm in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. You see what happened is in the book of Numbers chapter 17, they took a dry stick and they put it in the Shekinah glory and that stick came to life. So you can come here dry and dead and you can walk out alive. You can come here sick, you can walk out healed. You will come here unemployed and walk out with a job. And I know what I'm talking about. I'm like this lady that gave this song here. I know, I believe it, and I'm persuaded that he is able. You need to be convinced that the same God of the Bible can still do the things that he did in the Bible days. You see, when we learn about the Bible, we like to put it in a historical context. But we receive the prophet who said, we're still living in Bible days. We still see scripture fulfilled today. You see now, what the interesting thing is about the atmosphere, there was a specific atmosphere when the Messiah had to come to earth. Is it not so? They had to prepare the atmosphere, make the way straight. There had to be a highway of holiness that came from heaven down to earth so that mankind could be redeemed. So John the Baptist came with his preaching, and his preaching was of repentance, and repentance prepared the atmosphere for the Messiah to return. To come, not to return, but to come to earth. John came preaching repentance. People, a lot of times, they say they want revival. You can't have a revival without repentance. When you repent, God gives you revival. Because what does repentance mean? It's got a compound meaning. Repent means to change your thoughts. Second meaning is to change your direction. But before you can change your direction, you need to change your thoughts. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens is from the earth, so are my thoughts from your thoughts. So are my ways from your ways. So God comes and he sets an atmosphere of his word. And once the atmosphere of the word is there, your heart is open. Once your heart is open to the word of God, then something's going to start taking place in your life. So when I read this, controlling our thoughts, right? I just want to read something about it. If you can just give me a second. Sorry about this. Just give me a second. You see, the thing about words that create an atmosphere, people are so aware of it because how do you get manipulated? By false promises, right? If somebody wants to convince you, what do they use? They use speech to convince you. Yes, they use speech to convince you they're going to do this for you. They're going to do that. They end up doing nothing for you. They say, no, I'm going to pay you back. Nobody, they'll never pay you back. That's the way it goes. Yeah, but they do it like that. You see, I just want to get to something. Now, I want to read this. We are governed, our minds molded, and our taste formed, and our ideas suggested largely by men. Places you go to, where the atmosphere is influencing you, you don't know those people. and you don't know the intent behind why they're trying to influence you. No, and it's quite a serious matter, because where I come from, we deal with a lot of social ills, and I'm sure it's everywhere around the world. So what influences a teenage girl to become pregnant? Right? What influences a young man to take drugs? What influences a person to say, I don't want to go to church anymore? See what I'm saying? There's an influence in the atmosphere. You see, so when you expose yourself to the wrong atmosphere too long, you acclimatize to that atmosphere. Isn't that so? If you go live now in another country, you're going to acclimatize to the atmosphere. A simple example is, the prophet was talking one day about cows. They took some cows from up north and they brought them close to Antarctica, South Pole. They started to grow a coat that was longer because they had to adapt to the environment. They had to adapt to the climate. Yeah. So when you come into a place where there's a holy atmosphere, what's going to happen? Like the prophet said it best in the quote. He said, when you take an egg, you put it under the pup, that egg is going to hatch. Regardless if there's no chicken, it's because of the atmosphere, the egg is going to hatch. You understand what I'm trying to say? So what happens is, we live in a world that's fallen. And if you notice, the Bible says Satan fell like lightning. Right? Satan got kicked out of that atmosphere in heaven. And when he got kicked out of there, he came down to earth. And when he came down to earth, there was a blanket of darkness over the earth. Yes. What did Isaiah say? Gross darkness covers the earth. Yes, now Satan came down to the earth. And now you got to understand this. Here's the problem. Satan was in a very high position in heaven. And he got kicked out to earth, but he still wants his position. Right? He still wants to be worshipped. So where he got kicked out, he decided he's a king without a kingdom. And that's why they call him the God of this evil world. Amen. You want to read it? Let's go to it. I just want to show you something. It's in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. It says here, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, the prince of power of the air, he controls the airwaves, and in those airwaves there's influence to tell you. You know what happens is, I'll explain it to you from another perspective. They say you do not win an argument with logic. You win an argument with repetition. Right? And your subconscious mind is designed to react on repetition. So sometimes you're going to come to church, right? And you're going to hear the sounds over and over. No, he's not repeating. God knows how your mind works. He designed your mind. So God knows he needs to repeat something to you over and over and over before you catch it. You see what I'm saying? That's exactly what it is. So think about the days of Noah. Noah had to preach the same message for how long? 120 years. Repeat, repeat, repeat. But God knows that's your mind. That's the way your mind works. Constant repetition. What's he doing by repetition? He's trying to carve something into you. You know, like when he carved the 10 commandments, when he gave it to Moses, he said those commandments are no longer going to be written on tables. It's going to be written in the hearts of his people. So when you hear the word of God repeated, repeated, he's making you a written epistle read of all men. He's writing his laws in your heart. Because when the laws is in your, when God's law is placed in your heart, you don't sin against him. Isn't that so? That's why you can say from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But now when the word of God is engraved on the heart, what's the mouth going to speak of the goodness of God? Is it not? It's not going to speak of other things.
Yes, sir.
Just go a bit further. So you see, I was going to read this. Just go a bit further. You see, most tragedies are nothing but stories of human beings that try desperately to break loose from the clutches of social pleasure. It's what got Jesus crucified and his disciples persecuted. That's the truth. Social pressure, the pressure from the government. No, we can't have this man preaching. No, this man is breaking up our churches. But if you notice something about wherever Jesus went, Jesus changed the atmosphere wherever he went. Wherever Jesus went, there was no funeral. There was no funeral. Have you noticed? The first time they mentioned the name of Jesus, there was a change in the atmosphere. They came to this lady, Elizabeth, and they said, his name shall be called Jesus. The moment that name Jesus was mentioned, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And that name Jesus still has power today. You got to remember, there was an incident with a man that was filled with demons, a demon in Gadara. And here comes Jesus across to the place. The moment those demons saw Jesus, they left. Why? They recognized somewhere. They knew this was the person that kicked us out. Just the moment he started coming here, they started to recognize something the people couldn't recognize. The people couldn't recognize this was the God of the heavens and the earth, but the demons testified that this is the God of the heavens and the earth. And all those demons had to leave because Jesus was in the atmosphere. You see, when the influence of Jesus comes in this atmosphere, demons will be cast out. Because every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, that's what we're having this camp for. So we can get you to an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can influence you. An atmosphere that it can be a mighty rushing wind. An atmosphere where we can go back to the book of Acts. The book of Acts was the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. Now God calls us to be perfect. But he knows you cannot be perfect in yourself. That's why he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent to perfect you. You see, we've got to believe the same gospel that Paul believed. And the promise is for today. The promise is not for tomorrow. I believe if God sends the Holy Spirit in this building today, you're going to walk out a changed person. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal the secrets of your heart. The Holy Spirit will reveal your fears. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal your struggle. It's going to tell about your addiction you cannot overcome. It's going to tell about your secret sin that you're hiding from everybody. That secret sin that God sees that you do alone. But God doesn't want to condemn you for what you're doing. He wants to save you for what you're doing. God, that's why he provided the blood. You see, when you cannot overcome because of your weakness, the blood speaks on your behalf. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he only hears your voice, but he sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see what happened is, Jesus overcame every power, every principality. He broke hell, death, and the grave. Sin brought death. Sin brought the grave. But the blood of Jesus brought resurrection and life. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, because Jesus is the way to heaven. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we need to be identified with the world that is to come. When you baptize in the name of Jesus, you identify with the God of the heavens. Because why do you think the book of Ephesians says we are now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? When you get baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, you become a partaker of his divine nature. When you become a partaker of his divine nature, no weapon formed you against prosper. Because now you're not walking according to your thoughts. You're walking according to his spirit. So now when you see a problem, it becomes an opportunity. That's right. Difficulty becomes an opportunity for you to overcome. Don't look at any of your difficulties in life as a problem. Look at it as an opportunity. We sing a song, how great is my God? Isn't it so? How great is our God? Now, how great is your God today? Is God greater than your problems or your problems greater than your God? It can only be one of the two. Is God greater than your circumstances or your circumstances greater than your God? If God can furnish a table in the wilderness, if he can speak something out of nothing, he can speak you into a job, he can speak your healing right now, he can speak your deliverance right now, because God's word is his voice. When you hear his word, you're hearing his voice. And what did the voice of God come to do? It came to say, fear not. The spirit of God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The word sound mind means a mind that's healed. When your mind gets healed, that means your mind is balanced. When your mind is balanced, you can know the will of God. I believe you here this morning so that you can be in the right atmosphere, so that you can have the right influence, so that you can walk out a better Christian than what you came in. Now I'm going to go a bit further. You see what God does in the atmosphere, in the influence of his atmosphere, he breaks cycles. That's why you're at this camp. We're going to break cycles at this camp. Not me, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God's going to break all your habits that you cannot break yourself. So I'm going to read this shortly. It says, bad choices grow into bad habits. Bad habits become a struggle, just like our sister said. When bad habits take a hold in your life, soon it will defeat, Satan will defeat you. Satan will only lead you to the path of destruction. The path of destruction begins with a thought. That's why when you change your thoughts, you're going off the path of destruction. Today, change your thoughts to the path of life. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few that be there that find it. But I believe God is presenting that way to you this morning. Change your ways, change your direction. Because you see, a lot of times we don't perceive the grace of God. We don't perceive God being in a place. In the book of Genesis, there was an incident with Jacob. Jacob went to go sleep at this place. And they said there was angels going up and down. Angels going up and down. And Jacob wakes up and he said, he did not realize that God was in this place. You see, he's in the place, God is there, but he didn't realize God is in this place. I'm going to tell you this morning, God is in this place. He's in your heart this morning, and you need to recognize that God is in this place. The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? Isn't that so? So he's looking for this place of rest. He's looking for the throne of your heart to find his rest. I'm going to go a bit slightly further. I don't want to keep you too long. Sorry for keeping you a bit long. So you see, what happens is the Antichrist mindset is what I want to speak about just for a short space of time so you can understand what this Antichrist mindset is. Now, the Antichrist mindset comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what it is. If you take a look at the description of Lucifer in the Bible, Lucifer is described as a man with character. The Bible specifically describes his characteristics. Perfect in wisdom, perfect in beauty, until the day iniquity was found in him. Can you see it's giving a character sketch of the thing? Now the whole Antichrist system means anti-word, anti-anointing. Is that right?
Amen.
Jesus is the word, he's the anointing.
Amen.
So how do they go anti-word? Go against the word of God. Whatever the word of God does, do the opposite. That's right.
Amen.
You know what they call that? They call it witchcraft. Perfect example. I was very much into music, right? There was this group called Bone Thugs and Harmony. Now, they, what they did is they made a CD, and in the CD they would write a curse. But they would write the curse backwards. Then what you do is you take that CD, you take the curse, and you put it in the mirror, then you read it, and then you curse yourself. So you see what happens is, Satan cannot curse a Christian. A Christian can curse himself. That's right. You see, so you curse yourself by your confession, just as you get saved by your confession. You see, your confession is your possession. Never speak anything negative. Doesn't matter how bad life is, you speak positive. Why do you think we sing a song? Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's because what the Lord has done in me. So your confession this morning is going to become your possession. You see, what happens is Satan uses communication to corrupt the mind, because in the beginning, what he used was a word to corrupt the mind of Eve. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 15, evil communications corrupt good manners. So what you got to understand is, if you look at modern day technology, right? Social media, technology are spiritual machinery. You understand what I'm saying? It's a spiritual machinery because it uses your five senses to get to your spirit and your soul. It uses how you, because social media affects how you feel, affects how you think, affects how you respond. You see? We're living in a digital age. Social media was designed without regard of emotion. Social media exploits the vulnerability of human psychology. It creates, greatest of it understood it anyway. Social media is altered to, used to alter the reality and perception of truth. That's right. They're going to show you a picture of a very nice holiday, but their life is in a heap of misery. That's the truth. You go on Facebook, you go on this Instagram, hey, they're living a good life. But go to their house, you're thinking, man, this is not the same like the pictures you're showing me, but it's true. Yeah, man, what kind of pictures is this? It says here the human brain is changing in a way it operates because of social media. And you see, what does faith, how does faith come? Anybody know here? Faith comes from what? Hearing the word of God. So what is Satan using? Technology, social media. Why? Because it goes here. You're hearing, you're seeing, it's forming a mindset. Yeah. What's he doing? He's preparing people to go to hell. That's the honest truth.
Yes.
You understand this? John the Baptist came, right? To prepare the way for Christ. Yes. Now someone has to come to prepare the way for Antichrist.
Yes.
Now before Christ would come, there had to be an atmosphere for him to come. Before Antichrist, there has to be an atmosphere for Antichrist to come. Now the atmosphere for the Antichrist is called lawlessness. The lawless one. Read what's going on in Ireland. LGBT. Isn't that so? Man can marry man. Woman can marry woman. You can choose what sex you want. Lawless. Totally against the laws of God. And it's become part of the constitution. So what are they doing? They're preparing for Antichrist. 2 weeks ago in England, somebody got arrested before his Twitter account because he said pride is from the devil. That's right. He said, pride is from the devil, and so he lost his job. Brother and sister, we're living at the end. You need to realize you're not going to church to go to church. You're going to church because we're facing a tribulation. You're going to church because all of hell's being let loose.
Yes, sir.
You must understand in the book of Revelation, they speak about 200 million demons that's been let loose on the earth. Now, those demons are let loose spiritually, but they let loose spiritually because it's going to be a natural manifestation of hell on earth. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, I've been through a lot back in my own country, the violence, the evil. Like the brother was preaching last night, how can these things, people do these things? How can human beings do these things? It's the atmosphere and the influence. Now, you got two regions, right? One is up and one is below. Ones get influence from below, other ones get influence from above. So when the influence is on below, where is it going to take you? It's taking you down. When the influence is on above, where is it going to take you? Today is an opportunity to change the influence, change the atmosphere of your influence. You got to recognize when God is speaking. So I just want to say this in closing. We got to remember that Jesus came and he changed the atmosphere and he changed the influence of the history of the world. Today the calendar is BC, before Christ, AD, after Christ. You see the atmosphere that was on earth when Jesus was here, he brought heaven down to earth. When he brought heaven down to earth, he brought salvation. Now I'll let you know something. You can do whatever you want. Have as much money as you want. Study as much as you want. But there's no amount of money that you can pay for salvation.
Yes,
salvation is free. Yeah, not because it's worthless. Salvation is free because it's priceless.
Yeah,
so read this further. It's just a quote. His character has changed me when it came to me. I was a sinner and now I'm saved. I was lost and now I'm found. I once loved the things of the world. I hate it now. I once cared not for God. I love him now.
Yeah.
Something happened to me. Something happened to you.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it so? Something happened to me. Something happened to you. There was an influence of an atmosphere that changed your life. There was an influence of an atmosphere that brought you where you are today. And it's preparing for you for where you're going.
Amen.
Look, you see, the problem of people don't get about coming to church. It's not church. It's being in the presence of God. You want to spend eternity in the presence of God, right? But you can't spend 1 hour in church. Ask yourself a question. Can't go to church for 1 hour. Can't go to church for 2 hours, but you want to go to heaven. Get used to the godly atmosphere. Get used to the atmosphere of holiness. This is where you're going to spend 10,000 years. If you can't do it here, you're going to do it there. You see, I believe we're in a season of repentance. Because the Bible says in the book of Laodicea, be zealous to repent. Why does he say this? People must be zealous to repent. That's because of pride. We're living in the age of I. No, we need to repent. We need to change our thoughts. We need to change our ways. We need to be renewed by the Spirit of God. We need more of God in our lives than we did 10 years ago. You see what happens is many people get delivered, but they never get healed. That's right. You come to a service, you get delivered, you go back out, you do the same thing. It's like the people in Egypt. They were delivered from Egypt, but they had Egyptian habits. 40 days it took them to get out of Egypt. 40 years took to get Egypt out of them. By God's greatness, this camp, we want you not to be delivered. We want you to be healed. Healed from your sickness of unbelief. Healed from your doubt. Healed from your fear. Healed from saying, I cannot do it. Through Christ Jesus, you can do all things. I believe the power of God is here today to heal you. I believe the power of God is here today to not just deliver you, but to raise you up. If the band can come forward, there's a song we sing in South Africa. It's called, Give Me Power, My Lord. Have you ever heard that song before? It's a simple song. You can play it the key, Brother George. I believe this the morning, we can pray this morning for every need because we're going to pray because God's here and God answers prayer and God's going to do something for you today. He's not going to do something tomorrow. He's going to do something today. It's a simple chorus. It says, give me power, my Lord. Give me power, my Lord. Give me power every hour. Give me power, my Lord. Brother, you can sing the song. Give me power, my Lord. Give me power, my Lord. Give me power every hour. Give me power, my Lord. Oh, give me power, my Lord. Give me power. The song becomes your confession. If you say, God, give me power, you're going to receive power. Your confession is your possession. If you need power to be healed, say, give me power, my Lord. If you need power for deliverance, say, give me power, my Lord. The power of God is still here. It has never changed. It still has power to do whatever it did.
Give me power. Give me power, my Lord. Give me power, my Lord. Give me power, my Lord. Give me power every hour. Give me power.
We sing it once more.
Give me power, my Lord. Give me power. Power,
sing it again.
Give me power, my Lord. Give me power, my Lord. Oh, give me power every hour. Give me power, my Lord.
Let us bow our heads, and if anybody has a need this morning, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till later. God will supply your need right where you are, whatever it is. He's a God who's rich in mercy. He's a God who desires fellowship. He's a God who desires that you would turn to Him with your whole heart. Let us pray. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we've come here this morning because we know, Lord, that You and You alone have the words of eternal life, Lord. Lord, within You there's healing, Lord. In You there's redemption, Lord. In You there's restoration, Lord. In You we'll find peace, Lord. And here come your people this morning because, Lord, they were sown in weakness, but this morning you're going to raise them in power, Lord. They come in this morning because they believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. They believe that the Pentecostal experience has not changed, Lord. They believe in the power that came the day of the mighty rushing wind, Lord. Maybe there's some people this morning that desire the power of the Holy Ghost. May you grant it to them. Maybe there's people that this morning desire some power for all the difficulty of their life, whether it be depression, whether it be anxiety, whether it be unemployment, Lord. There's the power of God that can make something out of nothing, Lord. Lord, this morning I believe you're going to prove yourself to each and every heart of faith. This morning you're going to prove that there's no other God like you. No one can be compared to you. No one can be your equal. That you and you are God alone. I pray now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would bless this people, Lord. Bless them with the desires of their heart, Lord. Grant the desires of their heart in such a way, Lord, that it won't just be a camp, but it will be an experience with God. I pray now, Heavenly Father, even for those that came in late, Lord. Heavenly Father, I don't know what I preach this way for, Lord. But Lord, you know the hearts of your people. You know the desires of your people. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that when we leave here, we're going to leave change people, Lord. We're going to leave people that's going to walk closer to you. People that's going to desire more of your presence. And a people that can be called by your name. Ask us not because we deserve it, but we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ with much thanksgiving. Amen. And sing the song we sang yesterday. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And if anybody doesn't know Jesus Christ, if anybody has lost the joy of their salvation, this opportunity this morning.
Pass me not,
so you can take your seat.
My humble cry.
He won't be ashamed of you. Anybody that has a need this morning, the Lord is here to supply that need.
Bye.
Yeah. Salvation is free. Why don't you come? Salvation is free. Why don't you come? Salvation is free. Why don't you come?
Save you, oh, if you kneel to him. and humbly pray.
Fill my cup, Lord.
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that song softly. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs and pants after thee. And then we expect the pastor to come and close us with a word of prayer. Amen.
As the deer pants
for the waters,
so my soul longs Hallelujah. After you.
That is true, Lord.
You love.
Hallelujah.
Lord, are my heart's desire,
and
I long to worship you. You alone, Lord.
You alone.
Are my strength and my shield.
Lord, to
you alone,
may my spirit.
Desire
and I long
to worship you.
Now sing this from your heart, amen.
You're my friend
and you are
my brother even though
hallelujah. I want you, Lord, hallelujah.
I love you,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
The honor so much for
hallelujah. Want to sing from your heart now, hallelujah, Lord.
You alone
are my strength
and my shield,
and to
you alone.
I'm crying
out for you.
You alone are my heart's desire,
and
I long
to worship you. I want you alone.
I want you more than
no silver,
only you, Lord,
can satisfy.
And you alone,
you alone,
are my heart's desire,
and the apple of my eye. You alone, Lord.
Clayton came and he was telling us that where you are now, you are the result of the decisions you've made. And I look what our brother Cheslin's done in such a powerful way. What caused you to make those decisions? Was an atmosphere and was an influence. You get in the wrong crowd, you get to the wrong people, you make the wrong decisions, and that becomes your destiny. And that brings you to where you are. But those people that were in the right atmosphere, under the right influence, you make the right decisions, And we look at the lives of so many people here that are a testimony to that. But friends, the battle is in heavenly places. That's where spiritual warfare is. Satan doesn't want us to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want us to be in the right atmosphere. That's why he fights so hard before camps. You always see it. You know, you find people, they just get caught up and they don't come. Grant them one more time to come into an atmosphere. Because when there's an atmosphere, friends, an atmosphere like this, you start receiving the mind of Christ. You start seeing things the way they really are. No, you really start seeing things the way that God sees them. You might have condemned yourself before you came. You know, you might look down on yourself, but then you get into that atmosphere and you start realizing he loves me. Like the prodigal, when he thought, you know, when I get to my father, I'm going to have to tell him how I'm just be a servant. I'm not worthy. But when his father came running and he came into that atmosphere and his father embraced him, it was all different then. His father said, bring the best robe, put the shoes on his feet, the ring on his finger. And that's what we pray for. So let's bow our heads just as we close in prayer. I always remember the testimony of Billy Graham, and he said one thing. He said he went to the special meetings of Mordecai Ham. He was an evangelist. And Mordecai Ham gave an altar call at the end, and Billy Graham was a young man. He had been caught up in the wrong crowd, and now he was right at the back of the meeting. And he said, Mordecai Ham made an altar call, and Billy Graham knew that he should go, but he didn't go. He says, but I'm so glad that Mordecai Ham held on a little bit longer and just gave a one more chance for someone to respond. And he said, and that's when I went forward and I received the Lord. So is there anybody here today that would give just one more chance for you to respond to the Lord? You know inside of your life that he's calling you to himself. You know the Lord is drawing you. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, come and follow me. And you know, maybe there's been something holding you back, but just now you want to just raise your hand and hold you back. You're looking in your life and said, I've listened to this persuasion for too long. Where has it got me to? Just to a confusion and a disappointment and wasted time. Why am I listening to this voice? And now you want to raise up your hand to say, get behind me, Satan. And you wanted to say, Jesus, I've heard your voice. Lord, I surrender myself to you. I give myself to you. Lord, I don't have strength in myself. I can't change myself like Brother Cheslin said, but Jesus, I know this power, that the blood will never lose its power. And the voice of the blood has spoken to you. And if you'll just surrender yourself to that voice, the power of the blood will come and set you free. Father, we so much do appreciate such a wonderful time, Lord. Father, such a wonderful word. Father, such riches and such virtue and such power in the word upon this day. And all we can say, Father, be it unto me according to your word. Father, let your word find its bedding ground in each and every one of us. As you've drawn near to us, Lord, we think of Mary and Father, how you sent your anointed angel and you spoke to her and you answered her questions. And then she just submitted herself and said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And I pray that each person that's raised their hand up now, be it unto them according to your word. Father, be it unto them for your glory, Lord, we pray. Father, where there's a backslider, Father, you said you are married to the backslider. Father, you said that you are the seeking shepherd, Lord, that leaves the 99 to go to seek for the one. Oh, Jesus, just go and seek for the one upon this day. Lord, that one that's maybe hiding there in the back somewhere, Lord. And Father, Lord, they're just feeling a condemnation and a guilt. Father, let the spirit of the seeking shepherd, Lord, Father, raise them up and put them upon your shoulders upon this day and bring them back into the sheepfold, we'd ask, Lord. Father, them, Lord, that have got iniquity and guilt inside of their lives, Father, let the blood wash them clean. Father, let them realize, as our sister said, that there's no condemnation. Father, Lord, there's no, this. Who can bring charge to God's elect? That the blood will wash them clean. Oh, Father, I just pray for each and every soul represented today. And Lord, we pray for the minister that you'll bless him with your richest blessings. Father, Lord, may your riches and your glory be his inheritance. Lord, may you bless his ministry, bless his calling. Father, guide his footsteps. Bless all the work that he does for you, Lord. May you multiply it. Lord, like the prayer of Jabez. Lord, Father, may you, Lord, enlarge his coasts. Lord, may you bless him richly, Lord, we pray. And as we're dismissed now, Lord, give us good rest. Bless the food that we'll partake of. Bless it to our bodies, Lord. Bless our brother Daniel as he'd prepare for the evening service. And help us to prepare ourselves as well. Each and every one, that as we had come back, you may take us on from where you've left us, Lord. And Father, we'll give you the glory. We thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Who was blessed? Since I was really blessed. My, my, my. I wrote fast and I took a lot of notes. Because with Brad Cheslin, you've got to write fast. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it if you write fast. But that was a real blessing. Thank you, bro. Just to say, since we'll be coming back, whoever wants to come, we'll be having a quiz, 2:30 here in the church, because I don't think we can do it outside because of the weather. So we'll just do a quiz. Come, saints, we'll get ourselves on our teams. We've got something fun for you to do, so please come. Anybody wants to join in, 2:30, I think it'll be a blessed time. And then we have our service later. Tomorrow in the morning, we're arranging a special service. Tomorrow, the weather is going to be good. We proclaim it in Jesus' name. The weather's going to be good, so we thought we'll take service out of doors tomorrow. We'll find ourselves a good place. Brother Daniel's going to give his testimony, and then we're going to have questions and answers. I think it'll be a nice change, and then we'll push on from there. So God bless, saints. Let's dismiss with whatever Brother Faithful has for us.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing.
See the red light.
Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross. Oh. We rise and shine, rise and shine, and give God the glory.
Rise, shine.
Oh, give God the glory. Glory, soldier of God.
Oh, we are climbing.
We are climbing. Oh, Jacob's ladder. We are climbing. Jacob's ladder.
Hallelujah.
We are climbing. Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of God. Oh, every run goes, every run goes higher,
higher, higher.
Every run goes higher, higher. Every run goes higher and higher. Soldiers of God. Oh, rise and shine,
rise, shine.
Give God the glory, rise and shine. Oh, give God the glory,
rise, shine.
Give God the glory, soldiers of God.
We are climbing, we are climbing,
we are climbing. Jacob's ladder,
to Venus,
to Venus, climbing.
Jacob's ladder, Rachel, Rachel's climbing.
Jacob's ladder, soldiers of the cross. If you love me,
if you love me,
why not serve
Jabita?
If you love me,
why not serve
Jasmine? If you love me,
why not serve him?
Soldiers of the cross.
Kwaku, if you love him, why not?
If you love him,
why not serve
Joshua?
If you love him,
why not serve him?
If you love him,
why not serve him?
soldiers of the cross.
Hallelujah.